talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
My spare time and my spare key don't go to your front door. And I don't keep that old Jeep in your driveway anymore. And my toothbrush ain't on your bathroom sink. Haven't been to your side of town in weeks. You're the reason this thing broke, so you should already know. It ain't your place to walk up, say hey, ask how I been at some party. It ain't your place to ask my friends when you see them out if I'm seeing somebody. You don't get to call me up cause you're drunk. 2 a.m. say you miss us. Now you don't get to care where I'm waking up these days. It ain't your place.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Ashley Cook, Your Place. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which we organize, and that's coming up the last weekend in January of 2025. Long, long way away, but really not that long. And by the way, we are about 75% sold out for vendor booths for our 2025 Charleston Home and Design Show. If you have a home service, if you're a home service provider catering to affluent homeowners and you're interested in talking to us about perhaps displaying in the Charleston Home and Design Show, give us a call at Charleston Home and Design Magazine, 843-577-7652. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with John Currier with Southern Lumber and Millwork. We're also going to be talking with Whitney Whitlock with We Thrive HR. HR being short for human relations. I'm sure everybody knows that. And then finally, we'll be talking with Jared Dean with Fix It 24/7. They are a heating, air conditioning, and plumbing company here in Charleston. Well, I did mention, I forgot to mention that we are almost at the end of our spring issue, and we're going to be moving on to our summer issue, which will be out in a couple of weeks. But if you haven't picked up this spring issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, stop by just about any home-related showroom throughout the Charleston area, and you can grab a copy for yourself before it's too late. If you have a bathroom project in the future or you're planning to hire a builder, we have two big features that that you'll want to check out in the spring issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And then coming up in our summer issue, it's our annual outdoor living issue, and lots more good stuff going on. Have a great weekend. And talking to us now is John Currier with Southern Lumber and Millwork. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. John, take a moment and tell everyone about Southern Lumber and Millwork.
Well, Southern Lumber and Millwork has been around for over 80 years, and it's owned by the same family that started the business. We have grown to over 160 employees, and these employees work in a diverse specialties in our company, from millwork to doors to moldings and all that. We are a full service premier lumber supplier.
Gotcha. Okay. So over 80 years in business, and that's impressive. 160 plus employees. Is that what you said?
Yes. We have our main campus here on King Street. Then we have a big new warehouse that's for windows, doors, and our marine treated and dock materials over on Dorchester Road.
Uh-huh.
And then on Fellowship Road, we have a mill shop that specializes in mostly interior and exterior doors that was added about a year ago.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I will say this frequently when we're talking to a local business like yours, not a company that maybe has other locations throughout the state or the United or the country, a local business that employs local people, a consumer, a homeowner has a chance to sort of vote with their dollars and where they want those dollars to go to, and I always urge people to work with local companies like Southern Lumber and Millwork, because the dollars you spend with Southern Lumber and Millwork are going to stay here locally. They're going to go into the pockets of the 160 plus employees, and they'll be spending those dollars locally, and it just goes on and on from there. So that's only one reason why you should be buying your building materials from Southern Lumber and Millwork. But let's talk about a few other reasons too. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is Southern Lumber and Millwork does a lot, goes the extra mile with local architects. Why do local architects always urge their customers to do business with Southern Lumber and Millwork?
They urge their customers to come through us because of their wide range of offerings: windows, doors, architectural moldings, architectural gates. We have probably one of the largest mill shops in this whole region, and we are able to reproduce a lot of the old moldings that are downtown. We also give back to the community. We sponsor events for the architects to come tour our showroom, and we have one event, it's a casino night that a lot of the architects come to, and it's part of their ceremony for giving awards to their members and also electing their new president and things of that sort. So, yeah, we're really involved with the architectural community and the building community.
Gotcha. What is a lot of people may not be familiar with what the term millwork is. What is millwork?
Millwork is taking a raw piece of wood and forming it into a dimensional lumber, either it being like a crown molding or casing that goes around windows and doors. So it's taking a piece of wood and forming it into something that's artistic.
Gotcha. And you mentioned that a lot of the architects that are working with some of the historic homes, they like working with Southern Lumber and Millwork because you can replicate some of those old style moldings and so forth that you can't buy off the shelf these days.
Oh, yeah. We can replicate. If you can draw it, we can make it. We have two state-of-the-art CNC machines that you computer program them. We do drawings. Then the computers are programmed. And then these routers on those CNC machines can route out any and every detail that you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And when I first moved to Charleston in 1990, I bought an old single house near Hampton Park. And I remember going to a bunch of different home improvement places, trying to find some matching picture mold that you know is something that people used to have on their walls that they would do wall hangings and paintings and forth.
A hook that went over it and a cable that came down and hung your picture on it.
Right, and every place I went in town, they would say, "No, sorry, we don't carry that, but try Southern." And I kept hearing that over and over and over again, try Southern, try Southern, try Southern. And lo and behold, you folks had what I was looking for, which is impressive.
Yeah, we mill our own out of an A-grade poplar material, and we stock it. We sell quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Southern Lumber and Millwork ad in the spring edition of Charleston Home and Design magazine. You folks have the coveted inside back cover in Charleston Home and Design magazine, and it's one photo of an outdoor space on a home. And it looks like maybe and the reason that you chose that particular photo was to illustrate the different materials that you can help a homeowner with. And it looks like you've got like some Ipe decking on the floor. That's something that you help homeowners with, right?
Yes. We probably stock over $1 million worth of Ipe. We have that in inventory from 3 foot pieces all the way up to say 22 foot pieces.
Mm-hmm.
For decking, porch flooring. We also have it in a tongue and groove that is used mostly for covered porches.
And then on the ceiling, it's not a beadboard ceiling, but it looks like it's a tongue and groove type wood ceiling. And that came from Southern Lumber and Millwork too.
Yes, we stock about 6 or 8 different styles of ceiling board material. Another popular one is the V groove, where it's a tongue and groove piece that comes together and it forms a nice V between the boards.
Hmm. How is that different from a V groove versus a tongue and groove?
Well, a tongue and groove is where you have a tongue that goes into a groove like flooring.
Right.
And then you have the V groove is where the tongue and the groove come together and it forms a V.
Hmm. Is there a big difference between the two?
No. And then also there's a beaded. You have a single edge bead, you have an edge and center bead, where you have a bead on the edge and you have a bead down the center of the board. So it gives you a narrower spacing in between the beads.
Mm-hmm. And then it looks like the railing around the this covered porch looks like that's sort of matching Ipe, and then you've got the very popular stainless steel cable railing as well that goes in. And homeowners can get that all of those different materials at Southern Lumber and Millwork.
Oh yeah, we stock a huge amount of the. It's made by Atlantis and comes out of New England, and they started out, or they still do. They make sailboats and yachts, and that's where they started out in the stainless steel business, and they've been making the stainless railing components for probably 25 years or more.
Hmm.
And it's a 316 stainless, which is good for holding up in good old Charleston, salty air, humid weather. And yes, we sell a lot of it. It's a good product. Gives you a good visual. It doesn't block your view, say the ocean or the marshes.
Yeah, it gives kind of a modern look, which is nice, and mm-hmm. but that's the main reason, I think, right, is the view. You're not looking at pickets, looking at your view through pickets.
It sort of disappears.
Right, that's right.
Don't see it, but it's there for safety and to keep you from falling, you know, off the deck or the porch.
Right. And then, of course, some of the materials that are equally as important, but maybe not as aesthetically pleasing as some of the things we're talking about. The columns, you've got the square columns that I'm looking at, and then all of the trim material around the around this covered porch area. And then I would imagine if you took off some of the the finished material, you'd see all of the lumber that came from Southern Lumber and Millwork that was used to frame this beautiful covered porch.
Yeah, we stock numerous sizes of those square columns. It's a hollow column that has, you know, four sides, four pieces of lumber put together. It's a supreme kiln-dried product, and then it's primed with a oil-based primer. Then all the trim wood is our own exclusive that we produce and manufacture ourselves. It's called Elite Treated. And we sell a lot of it. A lot of it goes downtown to the historic homes because it is wood. But it holds up a whole lot better than your normal pine
mm-hmm.
that's been primed and painted.
Yep, I agree. And just to give you a personal experience, I have over the years bought treated material at the big box stores, and I will never do that again. It just doesn't. It's not. You'll have to remind me the terminology for how you rate the material, the wood material itself, at Southern Lumber and Millwork, but it's not as higher grade as what you folks sell, and it will not hold up as well as the lumber that I have since started buying from Southern Lumber and Millwork. What's the technical term for the...
Well, most of the big box places sell a number two. It's not really a kiln-dried product. It's a wet product. So as you put it outside and it dries out, it shrinks. Where we do sell a number two. We don't sell a huge amount, but we sell quite a bit of it for... If you're going to frame for the framing of a deck, then it all gets covered with our number one, which is a kiln-dried, clear, see and better, kiln-dried, pressure-treated pine, which is appearance grade. And then you put your Ipe decking over top of that.
Yeah. Are you saying kiln as in C-H-E-M or kiln, kiln-dried?
K-I-N. Kiln dried.
C H E M?
K I L. Kiln?
Kiln. Kiln dried. K I L N.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify. and I know exactly what you're talking about. It's taking the lumber and basically putting it in an oven. You can describe the process better than I can, but do you mind doing that?
Yeah, well, it's pressure treated. And then it's put into an oven and slowly dried to stabilize it. That way, when it comes out, it doesn't absorb moisture as quickly as just the wet product does. And it's a whole lot more stable, won't curl, bend. But it is recommended not to leave any of it out in the sun or out in the rain and let it get wet. And then the sun comes out and any and all of it will, start to curl, twist, split. So I recommend if you get number one or number two grade is to keep it covered, keep it as dry as possible, and to install it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people they may not know the reason why this is, but they might be experiencing some rot in some of the exterior wood that they have on their deck or porch or what have you. Back in like 2008 or so, the EPA made lumber mills change the formula for pressure treated lumber. They took out arsenic, which is a key element in preserving a piece of pressure treated lumber. They took that out, and I've had to replace several pieces of lumber that have rotted away. It's pressure treated lumber today is not the same as it was 20 years ago.
Well, pressure treated lumber does need to be sealed. A lot of people think just put it out there, let it weather. Eventually, these chemicals that it's treated with, evaporate and disappear from the lumber. So if you take care of the wood and seal it on a regular basis, I'm not saying every year you have to do it, but every, 2-3 years, reseal that lumber, it will last a whole lot longer than, unsealed lumber.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you, what are some of the brands of windows and doors that Southern Lumber and Millwork can help homeowners with?
Well, we are one of the premier Anderson dealers in the country. Also, one of the largest Marvin dealers in the country. Eurowall, we are one of their top 10 dealers in all of the U.S. And we sell Geldwin, which offers a broad spectrum of windows from aluminum clad down to, builder's grade vinyl. And then we offer Viwinko, which is all vinyl offering. And we choose not to offer everything or have so many different manufacturers just to make a sale. We stick with companies that are going to back us if there's a problem and take care of any situations. And also, we work in good partnership, especially with Marvin and Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
We have very close relationships with those people.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Southern Lumber and Millwork?
Well, they can go to our website at southernlumber.com. We have a lot of information on there. We have our molding catalog. They can go on Facebook. They can go on Instagram. We have all kinds of stuff on the social media platforms for people to go and look at and take some looks.
Well, I have one last question, and I'm always curious about this when I'm picking up materials at Southern Lumber and Millwork. How many forklifts do you folks have?
Wow. I would say we probably have 25 or 30 here at our main campus. Wind and Door Warehouse, we probably have about 4 or 5 over there. And I think we have one over at the Door Warehouse at Fellowship.
So what's that total?
I would say we probably had at least 35 or 40.
Wow, wow. And those are like $50,000 a piece. That's impressive.
For some of them, but ones that we use here to make to go down the narrow aisles, not only go front back, they're like a crab. They can go sideways.
I've seen those, yeah. That's it. That's impressive. You must have a person in house that does nothing but maintain those forklifts.
Yep, we have actually two on staff that all they do is change tires, fix broken parts, hoses. Yeah, it's quite an operation.
It's two full-time jobs. That's impressive.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, good deal. I've been talking with John Currier with Southern Lumber and Millwork, and you can always find Southern Lumber and Millwork within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, John.
You're welcome. Take care.
And talking to us now is Whitney Whitlock with We Thrive HR. How are you doing, Whitney?
Great. Thanks for having me, Tim.
You bet. Whitney, take a moment and tell our listeners all about We Thrive HR.
Great. So I started the company about 4 years ago in really a product of servicing small businesses that did not have in-house HR and needed the support and wanted to feel like a Fortune 500 company and have the same services and support. So we like to take all of the HR information that companies have and we'll put it into a system and manage everything on their behalf. So it sets them up for success.
Gotcha. So what, define what the acronym or the letters HR stand for and what is included under HR?
Of course. So human resources, and everyone thinks that's just hiring and firing, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, right now in our culture, it's all about really coming alongside the employees, helping them develop, grow, creating a work-life balance for a lot of people in today's age and times where we're just so busy. And so we help from like the recruiting aspect all the way through the entire employee life cycle. And we take that off of the business owner's plate. So really we'll help from the recruit to the onboard to payroll and benefit enrollment. We'll help them do performance reviews. We'll help create events and gatherings for their employees. We'll do trainings on personality assessments. And then we can also help offboard, but also do training for managers so that they are doing a good job of that and helping keep the company compliant.
Gotcha. So what size companies typically have a full-time human relations person that handles all those things? How big are those companies usually?
Of course. So a lot of it's going to come down to budget because a lot of HR professionals are in the 70,000 to 80,000 range or higher, and so you know it's going to be companies that can afford that. But what we see is the minimum usually is about 30 employees, and then by 50 to 60 employees, you definitely need someone there helping support. And what our team does is we like to help companies with under 50 employees, and then we organize and manage it. And once they get to that size, then we will help them recruit and hand everything over and train that person to help them in-house. So it's really just a step-by-step process. And, you know, and we're all about growth.
Right, right. Yeah. A lot of the smaller businesses out there, Charleston Home and Design is an example of that. We've got about 8 or 9 employees and we probably wouldn't have enough for a dedicated HR person to do with just 8 employees. But, and that may be the case with a number of companies. But there's important things that fall into the HR category that need to be addressed. You can't ignore those things, and that's where We Thrive HR can step in and help a business owner, right?
That's right. And honestly, there's so many great systems out there, but there's a lot to where companies don't know which one is the best or which ones to choose. And so we've already vetted all that out for everyone, and we can come alongside on a month retainer, or, you know, just for a few months to help them get situated, especially if they're under 10 employees. But really getting an HR like management system that is seamless and automated for you, and keeping all of your documents digital, organized, checklists, all those things, so that if you were to get audited, you're not going to be in trouble.
Right. So We Thrive HR, you folks can help a business owner as they grow and they're interested in maybe hiring some staff, and that means that business owner would have to stop what they're doing to have to take time to start recruiting new staff members, and that's something We Thrive HR can take care of, right?
Exactly. And a lot of recruiters right now are charging 20% to 30% to place a candidate. And what we do is, when we're putting that client into the HR system, this system helps you recruit on your behalf. So it's doing a lot of that active searching and lead generation for you, to where a lot of times our clients do not have to pay a recruiter. And we also will help screen for the initial stage, just to make sure that they're getting, you know, 5 to 10 like really solid candidates, and then they take the process from there. So it saves companies a lot of money, because obviously, depending on who you're hiring, that percentage can, you know, cost the business a lot.
Right. So. Yeah. One of the advertisers in Charleston Home and Design gave me this line a while back. Hire slow and fire fast.
Yes. Yeah, I love that.
And
it's being honest, right, with the employee, and not dragging them along, and the silent quitting. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Silent quitting. I think I use a different term. Short timer syndrome.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They've already checked out, and but they're still drawing a paycheck.
Exactly.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. And what is onboarding? What is that term? That's one of the I'm looking at the We Thrive HR ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine. I've never really known what onboarding means.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So for us, that first day with a new hire is crucial. You're setting the stage for what the company culture is. Are you prepared for them? People make up their mind usually like within the first 30 days. So having someone there to greet them, to make sure they sign all of their documents to be compliant. A lot of companies don't realize like you have to do E-Verify in South Carolina. There's a ton of paperwork, like acknowledging right to work posters, acknowledging OSHA and ADA, depending on how big the company is, making sure they have proper handbooks that are updated. There's just a lot of actual documentation that a lot of small businesses don't realize they need to have. But in all honesty, it's really just to set you up for success. For really, a handbook is basically the company's Bible,
right,
of like what their expectations are. So if you don't go over that with the employee, they don't really know what you're expecting from them. And then, you know, a lot of times managers will get upset because there was this miscommunication, basically, because that person wasn't quote unquote onboarded properly. They weren't walked through what's the mission of this company, the purpose, what are their values, what are the hours of operation, how long do I have to respond to someone in an email? Are your expectations 24 hours or 48 hours? Do you allow guns in the workplace? You know, if you have a concealed carry permit, like, are you allowing that or not? So what's your PTO policy? Just so many things that I think a lot of companies are like, we'll figure it out as we go.
Right.
And then they'll get frustrated because an employee, you know, does something against one of those policies, but they don't have anything in place.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's just this game of you're being reactive versus proactive.
Right. And there's a lot of,
rules and a company has to comply with that they may not even know. You mentioned before, like for instance, it seems like every year we get an audit for workers' comp, the number of employees we have, and things like that. That's something that we Thrive HR would be able to help a business with, right?
Exactly. Yes, for sure. And that's, you know, we specialize in the construction area. So basically, especially when you're going to hire, we know what those business owners are looking for in terms of qualifications, qualities, previous experience. We're well networked, so we a lot of times maybe know previous employers that they've worked with and can help get good references and things like that as well.
Right. Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, how can folks get more information about We Thrive HR?
Of course. No, that's a great question. Honestly, my email is whitney@wethrivehr.com, or they can call me directly and just go to our website for all of that information. There is a short little form on Contact Us that they can fill out, and it comes directly to my email.
And if you pick up Charleston Home and Design Magazine, you can look at the We Thrive HR ad, and it has a QR code that you can scan, and you can get in touch with We Thrive HR that way as well. And we have been talking with Whitney Whitlock with We Thrive HR. Thanks so much, Whitney.
Thank you.
And talking to us now is Jared Dean with Fix It 24/7. How are you doing, Jared?
Doing pretty good today, man. How about you?
Good. Jared, take a moment and tell everyone about Fix It 24/7.
Yeah, for sure. We're an HVAC, a heating and air conditioning and plumbing company out of North Charleston. Been around well over 20 years, about 23 years. And, you know, we specialize in residential heating and air conditioning, as well as plumbing services, just in-home services, not really new construction or commercial. And so we spend our time, you know, running around maintaining a lot of houses, from, you know, their air conditioning systems to their heating systems to their plumbing systems and water heaters. And then also, of course, doing repairs when needed. And if people are in the market for replacement, if it's that time for water heater replacement or, you know, water conditioning replacement, air conditioning, heating, we do a good amount of replacements as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, most homeowners out there, they just want it to work, kind of like your computer. You just want it to work. And then one day it's not working the way it should. What kinds of maintenance should a homeowner be looking at doing on their HVAC system before it goes bad?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's sort of a set it and forget it thing. You know, it's like your refrigerator; it's always cold in there, right? Or, you know, your microwave always turns on, or your light switches or whatever. And, you know, with air conditioning, there's just a lot more maintenance involved. And don't feel bad if you've never done it, because you have a large support group of people that hardly ever think to maintain their air conditioning systems. But that is really the number one line of defense. These things getting dirty is the number one thing that kills them. So dirt, dust, debris, number one thing. You know, it gets into the internal working components, the motors and valves and different things. And when everything's going great one day and then not the next day, it isn't always just because from one day to the next it decided to not work. Typically, it's been wearing out for a long time because of those things. And finally, you know, usually it's not really Murphy's Law that it's the hottest day it gives up. It's just trying to work the hardest on the hottest day, and so it gives up. And so we tell everybody, just preventative maintenance is your absolute best bet. So we recommend twice a year having a company out that actually cleans it. And what I mean by that is not just an inspection or a checkup or a visit, but, you know, to clean these things, you know, one typical system usually takes an hour to an hour and a half to really take apart, get all the dust and debris and dirt and gook out of them, so that it's as close to new as possible. I mean, obviously, if something's 5 or 10 years old, it's not new anymore. But you want it as clean as possible. And that takes a while. So make sure that you're doing that a couple times a year. And that you keep your filters replaced as well.
Mm-hmm. Filters is obviously replacing filters critically important. And why is that? Is that just for your air quality? Does that benefit the system as well?
Yeah, it depends on what type of filtration you're using. So, you know, if you're using the dime store filter that you can see through, it's not catching a whole lot, right? So you're going to let a lot of the dirt and particles that are in the air into the system. The air in your house goes through your ductwork and air conditioner about 3 or 4 times an hour, probably a little more often in the summertime because it runs a lot. So the better filtration you have, essentially, the less dust will enter the system, the less dust you'll be blowing throughout the house. So it's a perfect spot to clean the air. Definitely depends on the type of filtration you have. There's a lot of different ones out there, from really cheap and they really don't do much, all the way up to, you know, if you have allergies or asthma, or, you know, you don't want any bacterial growth, you know, inside your system, you can do different things. So as far as how often to replace them, it depends on the type of filter. And then the benefits are dual. You're protecting the system, and the cleaner you keep the system, the lower your energy bills are, the less breakdowns you have, and the longer the system is going to last. So system protection is really that number one thing. And then number two is just, what kind of air are you breathing? You know, we kind of live in Tupperware containers, is kind of how I view it. You know, we close our windows, we blast the AC, we really don't get any fresh air inside the house. And so we got lots of chemicals and lots of things that just, you know, circulate around the air conditioning system for, you know, hours and hours and hours on end. And so if you care about clean air, allergies, asthma, et cetera, you know, you can get some better filtration, and that'll actually protect the air you're breathing, so you have clean air as well as the system.
Mm-hmm. Is it back to the outside, when your people are looking at their condensers, they shouldn't, should, is that a DIY thing for them to clean the condenser outside themselves? Or I know that they can, it's important to like keep lands, you know, any landscape growth away from the condenser, but is cleaning it, is that something that someone should try themselves or hire a professional?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when it comes to air conditioning, airflow is really, you know, the first thing you have to have correct. Airflow inside, that getting that correct has a lot to do with it being clean. And then to your point, outside, you know, if something's leaned up against that air conditioner outside, you know, a patio chair or, you know, some surfboards or whatever, it can't get the airflow it needs. So it's not going to work as well. It's impossible. As far as cleaning it yourself, I have heard of people doing it. I really wouldn't recommend it. There's a lot of electricity inside there. You know, you can be spraying it off with a hose, but not realizing you're spraying water up into all the electrical components. So, you know, everybody, if you own your house and it's your air conditioner, you're free to DIY whatever you'd like. Would I recommend it? Probably not, just because there's a lot more to it than just, you know, spraying it off with a hose, you know, like you would, you know, an old picnic table or something. Mm-hmm. So probably more of a job to have a professional come out. We typically have to take that unit completely apart, take the top off, take the sides off, to get everything out of the coil.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And this is going to sound pitchy, but it's a fact. Fix it 24/7. You folks kind of shook up the Charleston market last year when you started promoting a $39 cleaning special and for new customers. And I noticed a lot of other of the heating and air companies started kind of following suit with their own special, $49, $59, whatever. And but Fix It 24/7, it's for a new customer, it's better to just have you folks come out for pay $39 to have you clean. Is that it? And some people have more than one system. Is that $39 per system?
Yeah, for new customers, it's $39 per system. And it's the same cleaning we do, you know, for our club members, for our normal, you know, maintenances that we do. It's not like you're getting a $39 14-minute you know, checkup and leave. So we're very passionate about the maintenance side of things. We know if we do an amazing job, you know, on every customer we go out to, it doesn't matter if it's a year old or 20 years old, we're going to build a family of customers and, you know, be a success or a hit, so to speak, in Charleston, just like we've been for the last almost 25 years. And so you just do the right thing every time. So it doesn't matter that it's only $39. We go out and we every time, you know, we clean that thing inside and out, you know, give the homeowners a full, you know, bill of health, how the thing's doing, if it needs anything or doesn't need anything at all. And so that's just the way we've found to, you know, do great work. We've gotten a lot of amazing customers out of it for the last couple of years. It's been great.
What did your employees at Fix-It 24/7 say when you introduced that $39 special? Because some of them have worked at other HVAC companies, and they're probably getting some pressure from management to try to upsell the homeowners and this and that. But what were your employees' reaction when you introduced that $39 cleaning special?
That's a great question, Tim. Seriously, it was interesting because, unfortunately, it's countercultural. And I've been in this since I was 12. That's 35 years. And, you know, I grew up in a small town in Virginia, you know, for an old school type of contractor. And you just did the right thing. And, you know, and then we went home every day. And then we did the right thing tomorrow and we did it again. But in the last several decades, you know, the way that these businesses have come to operate from, you know, various people speaking into these businesses is that profitability is number one, and you do whatever it takes to be profitable. And so a lot of practices have been introduced that can definitely make companies a lot of money, but at what cost? And so, yeah, when we introduced this and said, hey, you know, when we go out and do any type of maintenance on a customer, no matter what they're paying, $39 special, or if they're a club member, or if it's, we don't have a special running and it's, you know, over $200, we clean it every time. Like, that's what we do. We're a maintenance company that also repairs and also replaces. It was definitely countercultural. You could definitely see it on their faces, like, you know, wait, so every time we have to take the indoor unit apart and take the outdoor unit apart. And but, you know, some adapted and some didn't. And you know, there's times when we interview technicians that have come from a different, you know, mindset, different frame of mind. And they're not ready to make that change. They have been brought up in a more fast-paced, you know, do 7 or 8 calls a day, get out there within 10 minutes, see if you can find something wrong, sell a repair and go. Whereas with us, it's like, I don't know, if we can maintain the heck out of these things, we can help families get another year or 2 or 3 out of them, or 5 or 10. I mean, we've gone out to systems that are 4 or 5 years old. People have thought they've been getting it maintained. They're filthy and they're on their last leg. When if they just maintained the thing, it could have lasted them, you know, 10 or 15 years. So definitely a cultural shift to do that. And again, it makes it a little harder to hire people, because when you start to explain that in the interview process, there's a lot of guys that really don't want to do the hard work of maintenance. You know, replacing a part a lot of times can be kind of easy. Maintenance is sort of it's like doing oil changes. It's not glamorous, you know, and you're underneath the car getting oily, right? So it's not really, like I said, glamorous, but we've built a culture around that, and that's just, that's how we do it.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to homeowners who think, okay, as soon as an HVAC technician looks at my system, they're going to find something wrong, and it's going to end up costing me, versus, you know, not calling them to come to do some maintenance work on the HVAC unit?
Well, I don't know about you. I've been around long enough to know if I'm thinking about getting something maintained or calling somebody, I probably already have a gut feeling something's wrong. And then when I ignore it, the problem never really goes away and it never gets cheaper. it always causes something else to break or something else to break or whatever. So, you know, we're fine with any skeptical customer that comes out. We're not going to come out and do a maintenance on a house, on a system or two or three or whatever's in there, and say, you have to do these repairs and you have to do them with us. You know, we're going to come out and prove how awesome and amazing we are by our work ethic and our attention to detail. And we're just normal guys and gals with families, and we're just serving families in Charleston. So we never do any repairs without somebody knowing first. So there's never going to be a situation where they come out for a $39 maintenance and then 2 hours later hand somebody a bill for $1,000. I mean, that's just not the way we do it. So, you know, all repairs have to be approved for if we find any. Some, you know, there's different categories of repairs, right? There's some that are, you know, very obvious. Hey, this needs to happen right now. This is why you called us out. You were hoping a maintenance would fix this problem, but really you need this part or whatever the repair is. And then other repairs might be proactive. Hey, you know what? This part is, you know, only operating at 75%. You can leave it back in there and it'll probably stay running for a while. No way to know exactly when it'll give up the ghost. But if you want to be proactive, you can do a proactive repair. So kind of like some must-do. There can be must-do repairs, and then there can be could-do repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we always just give it a full maintenance, a full inspection with a checklist, let people know exactly how all of the parts in the system are doing. And then really it's up to the homeowners. It's not my house. It's not my finances. It's not my family. And so I always call that, like, you know, the homeowner's situation. It's not the same as my situation. So we just make sure we're up front, give them the full picture of what's going on, whether it's in perfect health or it could use a few, you know, things, or it's on its last leg or whatever's going on. And then homeowners make up that decision depending on their situation.
Yeah, gotcha. And I just wanted to throw in my two cents also. Last year we had a Fix-It 24/7 technician come out, and we have three units on our house, and two of the units, your technician said, these are working fine. We cleaned them and you know, everything's great. But one of the units, there's a leak. This issue, that issue. And, so I thought that was pretty cool. That was, you know, instead of hitting us up for repairs on every system, there was, you guys were honest about finding a problem with one system. And then another thing that you found was there was a gas line that I think when it was originally installed, they put a fitting on there that was the wrong type of fitting to be around, like salt water. And they found there was a slow leak, a slow gas leak that was taking place on the outside unit. So, that was great. We had our own plumber that we brought in to take care of that. Only because we've had a plumber for 25 years, the same plumber, but, but anyways, sure. I thought it earned a lot of credibility with me as a homeowner. So that was cool. But we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask, like, what are some of the what's the tipping point for a homeowner where they say, okay, it's going to be cheaper to or maybe not cheaper, but it's time to replace a system versus trying to repair that system. How long should these HVAC systems last?
Man, it's so situational. But here's a range of what we see. None of these are definite every time answers, you know, because it's people will replace systems for different reasons depending on their family and their finances and everything else. But you know, we see in this area, depending on how well a system's been maintained, and that is a huge part of it. We're seeing 9 to 12 years is kind of an average in the area of when it makes sense to replace, or when it ends up with a catastrophic repair. And why would you put this much into a 11-year-old system? You might as well invest that into a new system. So that 9 to 12 range, not to say that from time to time we don't take out a 20-year-old system that's been really well maintained, but they're getting fewer and farther between. When I was younger, I remember taking out systems that were, you know, 40 years old, But I mean, I haven't done that in a decade or two, or maybe longer. So I would say that 9 to 12 range is kind of when you should be thinking about it. If you're a homeowner and you're listening to this right now, you don't need to be scared, but you definitely need to be thinking, okay, that might be on my list. I might want to budget for that. I'm not going to act like I never heard this podcast and be surprised when it happens. If you've got an air conditioner in that 7 or 8, 9 year old range and you haven't been maintaining it, get that thing clean now. Like, get as many years as you can out of it. But the things that end up the tipping point, Tim, would be, you know, it's obviously it's 100 degrees or feels like 500 in Charleston, and it stops working and it needs, you know, a $3,000 repair, and it's 11 years old. Now, your family, your situation, your finances, it may make more sense for you to repair it for $3,000, roll the dice, hope nothing else goes wrong with it, and then replace it 2 years down the road when you're in a better financial position. Or, you know, you put that $3,000 plus any future repairs that it might need, you put that towards an, you know, a new system, and you maybe stretch out the payments on it so you're not paying for it all at once. You get a system that costs you less on your electric bill. You don't have any repairs that are happening to it. You have the peace of mind. It's more comfortable, etc. So really, that's why I always look at the homeowner's situation. You know, I still am in the field, so I go out and visit with homeowners all the time, and I never walk in saying, "Here's what I would do," because it's not my house and it's not my family. It really comes down to what's right for each individual family. Some people will replace their systems totally proactively, or the current system's not comfortable because it's not designed right. So there's lots of different reasons, the tipping point. The most often one is, you know, it's 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 years old. It needs a large repair, and honestly, it's just not worth throwing that money away, knowing you'll still need to repair it in a year or two. That's usually the tipping point.
Gotcha. All right. Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Fix-It 24/7?
Yeah, you can definitely go online, fixmyhome247.com. Fixmyhome, the number's 247.com. Or give us a ring. Talk to any of our call takers, 843-333-8888. And they'd love to talk to you about it. They're well-versed in what we do and how we do it. And we've got, I don't even know, we've probably got a good 25 or so guys running around town right now being heroes, and they love what they get to do.
Cool. Good deal. And you can always find Fix It 24/7 within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Jared Dean with Fix It 24/7. Thanks so much, Jared.
Thanks, man. Talk to you later.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.